Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ickle-firsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 179 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Cassandra Eli. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing the first half of chapter 31 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, OWLs, or owls, whichever one. So make sure you have read that chapter and you're ready to study your way through the details.
Oh, gosh.
You're welcome. Before we begin, Megan has some weekly profit news, which I'm pretty excited for.
So a while back, I know that I told everybody because of the pandemic, Universal was postponing Epic Universe, their new theme park that they're building, which is still the case. It's still delayed, obviously, because they couldn't work on it this year as much as they thought, or last year. That year's over.
Whoa.
Anyway,
don't put us back there.
I know. However, some patents have come up for potentially what the Harry Potter ride might look like or be. So if you don't want like any spoilers about the new theme park, just like skip ahead a couple minutes. But right now, they have kind of confirmed that it's going to be Fantastic Beasts related. I kind of personally have low expectations that that is actually going to be the case by the time this opens. I think it's still just going to be overall Harry Potter themed.
Yes.
But there were some patents that came about that show a choose your own journey attraction coming. So like potentially you would get to choose what your ride looks like. I don't necessarily know how this is going to work. They're thinking the type of contraption that they have shown looks kind of like you're sitting on a broom.
Mm-hmm.
So it would, obviously, I'm guessing it's going to be like VR. And you will basically get to like choose where you're going on said broom. I do kind of compare this slightly to Star Tours at Hollywood Studios. Star Tours is a really old attraction, actually, that's been around for, gosh, years and years and years at Disney. But it's cool because every time you ride it, it's different. So, like, you never know where you're going to go when you go on the ride. So, like, you get into the pod and, yeah, so it's like, exactly. Abby in the Discord chat says this kind of sounds like Star Tours meets Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
So if there's any Disney fans listening, you know what I'm talking about if you've been to Disney World. So Star Tours is like this little pod that takes you to all these different things.
You could be a Disney fan and not have been to Disney.
Well, I meant Disney theme park fan.
And I'm mad that 2020 canceled my trip.
I know.
The trip that was never actually booked.
No, it wasn't, because it was everything shut down so early.
But then Flight of Passage kind of reminds me of like this contraption that you can see here that looks like you might be on a broom. Kind of similar how on Flight of Passage you ride a banshee. So I think that that's what this is going to be, except it's going to be even more involved because you're going to get to choose the places that you go to. This is my interpretation of what this ride could be. I really have no idea. So I found this article on InsideTheMagic.net, which sometimes they tend to be a little bit like rumor milly and clickbaity. So I try not to like go to these types of sites too much. But they had a good point with like bringing this up. So that's why I went to it. But they originally thought that the patent could be for the How to Train Your Dragon attraction that's coming to Epic Universe. But I don't know. I did see another patent a while back for another attraction that looked like it had wands that you would like point at things, which I thought could be a combination of, if you've ever been to Universal and ridden Men in Black, where you have to like shoot at the aliens. I thought maybe like that could be something that you do with the beasts if it was going to stick to being Fantastic Beast themed, or like something with beasts and Newt. So I don't know. I mean, like there could be two attractions, and one of them is a fly your own broomstick virtual reality experience, and the other is a capture the beasts type experience through like the Ministry of Magic or something. So
yeah.
Either way, I think that Universal has done a fantastic job in terms of attractions for the Harry Potter universe.
It's about to blow up even more with Nintendo coming in.
Oh. Yes. So,
like, can you imagine? Kate, I can't freaking wait.
Did you see the videos of Mario Kart?
I saw everything that came out of Japan.
It looks like
it looks like my dream.
Real life, but cartoon.
I'm going to go punch some blocks and collect some gold. It's going to be fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, Epic Universe is going to be epic. Oh, I mean, it's gonna be more Harry Potter, it's gonna be Nintendo, it's gonna be How to Train Your Dragon, Universal's original like monsters, you know, like Frankenstein, and all of
that's
kind
cool.
of stuff.
That's
so
cool.
It's gonna be really, really cool. But I really thought that this patent looked promising, and I think it would be really cool to do like a, you know, create my your own adventure type ride. So
yeah,
it looks fun.
I won't be riding it. I said that about Hagrid, but I don't want to barf.
Yeah, I think you should. Well, I don't know. You do you, but I would go at least once to experience it. And then, you know,
and just bring some saltines. You remember what happened to me after I experienced Hagrid's head in between my legs?
I think that you had a worse experience on Forbidden Journey.
Yes,
that's true.
And think how well you did on the other ride.
Yeah. That was a fluke. That was sheer. I was hopped up on adrenaline and roasted chicken, and it all worked out fine.
So we'll just get you high on adrenaline and roasted chicken.
There you go.
Did you keep reading in this article?
Oh, should I have?
It says The attraction is reported to take on the same quality as a Twilight attraction that was developed in 2019 for Lionsgate Entertainment World. A Twilight ride?
There's a Twilight ride?
The Twilight
What's
Saga.
What's Lionsgate Entertainment World? What is that?
I don't know. The Twilight Saga
thing,
Midnight
is
Ride.
Asia?
I don't know. I just read it and I was like, a Twilight? Am I reading this correctly? Yeah, I am.
What?
I know. Please, it sounds vague, but actually, now that Katie is saying this, I feel like I knew about this. Hold on. Lionsgate.
Lionsgate Entertainment World. What's called
Lionsgate theme park.
Not saying I wouldn't ride it.
Bella's Journey. What?
Oh,
what,
yeah,
are we,
that's
like
right,
spider monkeys climbing trees?
They have an attraction
what's
for
happening?
The Hunger Games too. It's in China.
This is real?
Yes.
What? A yeah. Hunger Games attraction sounds very dangerous.
That sounds awful.
It sounds so scary.
No, thank you.
Very, very dangerous. Oh boy.
That's cool.
Oh, well, nay, nay.
All right.
Oh, nay, nay. But one thing I do want to point out is the Fantastic Beasts franchise is obviously having a whole lot of issues. So I definitely agree with you, Meg, when you say you think it's going to be more centered around Harry Potter rather than. I think it could have had that potential, but I think that
I think it's
not
just
anymore.
Be like Wizarding World, not yeah. specific like Harry Potter, Wizarding World.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. So, like, I know originally they said that they were going to have, like, the French Ministry of Magic. I'm not yeah. necessarily knocking that out as an option. Like, I guess they might still do that. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that Newt is always going to, like, be a face when it comes to the Wizarding World. But I don't know, like, how much more in-depth with Fantastic Beasts they could go than that, in my opinion. But I think that even if they do have some Fantastic Beasts over there, then I think that they definitely have to mirror it with more just Potter. So I don't know. I just like him. Yeah. I just really wonder if the Fantastic Beast series is gonna get finished. That's my only worry. So like if it's a half finished series, I can't see Universal jumping on board with like building a whole section about it.
Well, I feel like they're definitely going to go forward with the next movie, seeing as how they signed a new Grindelwald.
Are they filming that yet?
I guess.
I don't know.
Apparently.
So one more will get made. Was it supposed to be five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was supposed to be five films that spanned the 19 years ending in 1945.
I really don't know. I mean, I'm sure that everything is planned as far as the storyline goes, because that's usually something that the author does really well. So who knows? November.
I just feel like it lost steam.
Oh, so they're saying it's going to come out November 12th of this year.
No,
they got pushed back a whole nother year.
That's old.
So 22.
I think it got 22. Pushed back a whole nother year.
It'll probably be November of that year then.
Probably.
Well,
so
see you in a couple.
On Screen Rant, it said that on a September 1st, 2020 article said it was starting in October, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, who knows? Especially with it being in they're filming in the UK. And the UK, there's still a hot mess express. Be quiet.
Eddie Redmayne did say that it started taking place.
I mean,
sort of filming.
Well,
okay.
We shall see.
How can you find us?
So make sure you follow us on Spotify by clicking the follow button on our page and share this episode with your friends by clicking the three dots in the corner of the episode page. Three dots. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it also gives you access to our exclusive Discord channel, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support already. We couldn't do it without you.
Woo-hoo. Mm-hmm. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Oh, my God. What is that? Kate, what is that?
What?
It's a recap.
Oh my God.
Oh.
I was like, did I miss a GIF in the Discord? What's going on? What?
my plan worked.
You're hilarious. All right. Recap time. So last time, Hagrid led Harry and Hermione into the woods for a big surprise. Hagrid brought his half-brother back from the mountains, and Grop really isn't too happy about it.
Groppy.
But Hagrid needs the trio to look after him for if, let's be real, for when Umbridge decides to sack him because she's a sack of you-know-what. They have a scary run-in with the centaurs, but Gryffindor won the Quidditch Cup.
Gryffindor wins the House Cup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
Quidditch.
My dance.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm too sad to read the summary because my team lost.
It did. Chang was not happy. I'm used
to it. I live in Cleveland.
Good one.
So Ron is very happy about the win, but he doesn't stop talking about it until Harry and Hermione have to tell him that they actually didn't get to see the entire game. Obviously, Ron is not pleased with that or any of the other news that they tell him, because they tell him all about their journey into the woods. And soon it's June, and they spend their classes studying for their tests that they have to take, the OWLs. And people are selling things to help other people study, but Hermione's positive that they don't work, so she confiscates them and gets rid of them. Down the drain, man. And the tests have started, and obviously they are nervous about the outcomes. Hmm. That's about where we stop.
Isn't deep June.
No, this would be
This is shallow June.
I would say shallow June. I don't think we'd get like an actual date. I would say shallow to mid.
Mm-mm.
What is the middle?
I don't know. It's not mid, though.
I forget what the middle was.
The middle is like the 11th.
It's the thick.
Thick.
Thick, right.
The middle's the 11th.
The 11th through the 20th. The 11th through the 20th.
Like in Discord, everybody's like, it's the thick. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
And then Vinny.
Okay, so like Sasa said, Ron is really happy about helping Gryffindor get a W in Quidditch and win the entire cup. So that next day, all he wants to do is talk about this match. And I said, rightfully so. He has been having little to be happy about lately. And I'm really happy that he has this moment. And it is kind of heartbreaking when he eventually finds out that they didn't see, because I think that he really like wants to impress his friends, you know?
Yeah.
I really like when he goes, he's like, I just thought about it. And I was like, yeah, I could do this. And then he like saves the next goal. And I was like, yeah, have confidence in yourself, man.
Yeah. Got to talk to yourself. I do that when I work out. I'm like, dude, do it. And then I do it, and it's everything's fine.
And then I do it.
And then I do it, man. Oh, but like I said, it's very short-lived with the new information that is about to come out. So Harry and Hermione are listening to him, and they're trying to find an opportunity in which they can be like, there's a giant in the forest, and no big deal. But it is a big deal, actually.
Quite.
And, you know, it's just not a good moment to tell him about little Groppy Poo in the forest. It's not the time.
Little Grop.
Little Groppy.
I like that you wrote Bebe.
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 Bebe. Neither Tiffany of them were trying very hard.
Bebe joke.
I know.
Bebe.
I'm not there yet. Can you calm down?
Get there.
Whoa.
Another
podcast.
I'm slowly... slowly getting there. Bridgerton took over my life, though, so it's fine.
Unacceptable.
And a couple of documentaries. Anyway, they're not trying very hard because they don't want to kind of like bring Ron back down to reality. And I understand that. Like, they want their friend to be happy. They know how much Quidditch means to him.
Quidditch.
So it's another nice day, and they decided to do their studying under the beech tree on the edge of the lake. And this worked both for comfort and because they were less likely to be overheard when they eventually tell him. So Ron's not really into this idea of spending time outside because he is enjoying being the center of attention in Gryffindor Tower. There were random outbursts of singing of Weasley is our king, which is always a good time. And people were like patting him on the back, and he didn't want to leave that atmosphere.
I don't blame him. He doesn't get that chance, you know, very often. So
I agree.
I say soak it up, Ron. And this time he's not like exaggerating. Like, remember when he was attacked by Sirius Black and it like started off with that? And then it like ended up being like this exaggerated story.
Yeah.
No, this is actual truth. Mm-hmm. So they spread their books out under the beech tree. They sit down. Ron's telling them about the first save of the match for what Harry, you know, it felt like to Harry to be the 12th time. Thank you. Quote, well, I mean, I'd already let in that one of Davies, so I wasn't feeling that confident. But I don't know. When Bradley came toward me, just out of nowhere, I thought, you can do this. And I had about a second to decide which way to fly, you know, because he looked like he was aiming for the right goal hoop. My right, obviously, his left. But I had a funny feeling that he was feigning. And so I took the chance and flew left. His right, I mean. And well, you saw what happened, he concluded modestly, sweeping his hair back quite unnecessarily. So it looked interestingly windswept, glancing around to see whether the nearest people to them, a bunch of gossiping third-year Hufflepuffs, had heard him. Yes,
I just wanted to Google
Beech Tree
because I wanted to know if it meant anything, because, you know, I feel like the author does it sometimes.
The author mentioned it twice,
and so they're studying under it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and according to the Wikia, it says a true match for a beech wand will be, if young, wise beyond their years, and if full grown, rich in understanding and experience. And this is beech wands perform very weakly for the narrow-minded and intolerant, which I think is like a good.
Well, these three are certainly kind of thing. Have experience in wizarding things. These ads, man. Yeah. So I literally read this and I was like, I am getting major James Potter vibes,
mm-hmm,
with the hair.
Yeah.
And it's just,
Harry agrees.
It's cute.
Yep.
He then asks Harry, why is he grinning at him? And Harry's all like, I'm not. And he says it, you know, like a liar. And he tries to look at his transfiguration notes and he says that he's just super happy they won, which is true.
Dad?
You are so weird.
My cousin does that.
And Ron is like, yeah. We won. It's great. Did you see the look on Chang's face when Ginny caught the snitch right out from under her nose? And I said, is this foreshadowing to getting Harry? That's a great creation. Oh, they put Discord put my face on John Mulaney for the, you know, like a liar line. And I probably couldn't it be seems happier.
Pretty seamless.
He and I look really good. I'm just saying the match. It's a match. So you guys missed it. Is that foreshadowing to Ginny like snatching Harry right out from Joe's?
Oh my god. She won.
Hey. I'd say it is.
I think it is. I think there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It's gonna say something nice.
Well, Harry says something not very nice. He goes,
no, not nice in that sense, not mean.
Oh.
Not nice in like a,
just keep it to yourself. So Harry's like, oh, did she cry? And I said, that's kind of rude, but probably a truthful question. Ron continues to be like, yeah, she did, but mostly out of anger. And then hiding their whereabouts starts to come unraveled. So where they were is starting to come out, because you just can't lie to your friends. I would hope you wouldn't. I mean, you wouldn't want to. We also find out that Cho threw her broom as well. And then Hermione comes clean. Well, actually, no, Ron, said Hermione with a heavy sigh, putting down her book and looking at him apologetically. As a matter of fact, the only bit of the match Harry and I saw was Davy's first goal. Ron's carefully ruffled hair seemed to wilt with disappointment. And Ron is in sort of like a numb, sad shock. And he asks them if they watched, and, you know, they didn't comment on any of his saves. His face is growing redder and redder. He questions them as to why they weren't there. I think he's getting like really angry, yeah, and like disappointed, because my face gets red if I'm like disappointed too. What's up?
Do you think that he, do you, I don't know, how do I word this? Do you think that he's worried that they were like together?
Oh,
no,
I don't necessarily think so. I think that whole thing is just,
I think it's purely him. Because he was so happy and with what he did, and the two people that he wanted to see at most didn't.
Yeah. And I think the, I think where you're coming from was like having him, because I know later on in like book I feel seven, like, when he's having those like Horcrux issues where he's like, oh, yeah, they're smooching. Yeah,
totally the Horcrux.
Yeah, but preying on the fact that like he doesn't think he's as good as Harry, so why wouldn't she want someone better than him? Why would she want him?
Mm.
And like him being Ron when he could, she's friends with Harry, like, you know what I mean?
I think more, it's a really great thought. I think more of those feelings might come next year.
Ron or Meg trying to get saucy. Except
flip-flopped, because Ron is sucking face with Lav.
Yeah, but he still likes Hermione. That was just a stand-in. I mean,
he's like unconscious saying her name. So
but
like,
but maybe
what's he really thinking about?
But he's maybe
smooching Lavender and being like, I bet you Hermione's the better.
He might be thinking all of these things at one time. You know, yeah, you don't have to have just one train. Wrong.
You can like someone and not be with them.
Okay, so they go on to say, it was Hagrid. He decided to tell us why he's been covered in injuries ever since he got back from the Giants. He wanted us to go into the forest with him. We had no choice. You know how he gets. Anyway, and the story is told in 5 minutes. And by the end, Ron's look of indignation had been replaced with a look of total, I don't know how to say that.
Incredulity?
Incredulity?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Hold on.
Google it.
Incredulity, the state of being unwilling or unable to believe something.
Look at that. Learning every day.
Couldn't you just say shock?
Well, sure, but you know.
Surprise.
Fancy pants.
Gosh. Yeah, why do you gotta make me look like a fool? Anyways.
Etymology.
Etymology.
I said that in my head today reading that word.
I'm so proud of you.
I said it. They had that as a theme on Jeopardy like a week or two ago. I might have said etymology out loud on purpose, but
it
now
makes me really happy. I don't think
I'll ever be able to say it correctly, like
ever again. Okay, that's fair.
Like I'll struggle with it.
So Ron is like sitting there, and he says, "He brought one back and hid it in the forest."
Dun, dun,
yes, Ronald.
Dun, dun,
dun. I think that at this point, Ron just like. Like, he's really just in disbelief. He's like, this is not information that I can even, like, take in and accept. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Well, get used to it.
So Harry very grimly says, yep. And Ron is just flabbergasted. But, like, why should he be? This is Hagrid we're talking about, right? He got a dragon egg off a stranger at a pub. Hatched it. Watched it bite Ron's hand and blamed Ron. You know, this is Hagrid. So
kept a spider in a box,
right?
In his dorm room.
I traveled to Hagrid. What a weird sentence. Of a
kept
traveler.
A spider in a box.
Where do you keep your spiders, Katie?
I don't keep one them anywhere. Down dead? From the ceiling today. Full no. on, like.
I hate
out.
That.
No. It
I hate
was
the
like
little legs.
Spy movie coming down from the rafters trying to steal some diamonds. And I said, not today.
Gross.
Shoes.
Gross.
Two shoes.
The one time I killed one outside in the summertime, my mom was telling me not to. Little baby spiders everywhere.
Yeah.
Gross. No.
Yeah.
All right, I'm moving on. Hermione spiders, then says, well,
Hermione.
He has. Grop's about 16 feet tall, enjoys ripping up 20-foot pine trees, and knows me as Hermy. I just want to say that I like almost envision Hermione delivering this line like David Rose.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
knows
I can
me
see that.
As Hermy. Anyway. So like Ron's reaction here is basically like immediate nerves. He's like, and Hagrid wants us to teach him English. Yeah, said Harry. Like, I imagine almost in just disbelief. And Ron then just goes, he has lost his mind. And Hermione agrees. But Hermione says they made a promise, and Ron's like, yeah, well, you're going to need to break that promise then. We've got exams and we're about that far. And he holds his hand to show his thumb and forefinger a millimeter apart from being chucked out as it is. And anyway, remember Norberta? Remember Aragog? Have we ever come off better for mixing with any of Hagrid's monster mates?
Monster mates.
Monster mates.
Monster mates. It was a monster mate.
A monster mate.
And I know that we touched on this in the last time, but after reading that sentence right there, that little description paragraph from Ron, I really do feel like sometimes Hagrid does ask too much of them, especially knowing the consequences of the previous asks. Like, but at the same, like, you know, this kind of also just goes back to last episode. Like, Hagrid definitely thinks with his heart more than anything.
Yes.
So that's where, like, the problems arise. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to think with your heart. Just sometimes it causes problems. Yes.
I wonder if, because ever since he got kicked out of Hogwarts, like, he's always had Dumbledore kind of behind him. So, like, I wonder if he's always had someone kind of cleaning up his messes. So,
yeah,
he doesn't understand the ramifications.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That
makes sense.
It always works out. So, like,
yes,
that does make sense.
It always works out. Just, and he doesn't understand that. No,
because Dumbledore's like, I got my broom.
Dumbledore's like, you, boo, boo, spells. Fixing stuff.
Let me go to the ministry. Spiders in boxes. Because really, it's like, okay.
Dudley in the tail. You know what I mean? What happened? Did he get in trouble for having a dragon? Of course not.
Nah, he's good. What?
You're just like, goes to the ministry like, spiders in boxes. It's okay.
Everything's fine.
I mean, the spider in the box did get him kicked out of school.
Spider in the box.
But not kicked out of Hogwarts. Just kicked out of schooling.
Ooh. Step one,
put spider in the box. Step two, put some food in that box.
Step three, don't open the box. That's the way you
do it. Yes.
So Ron then is like, well, if Hagrid hasn't been sacked by now, like, he should be able to hold on until the end of term, right? Like, it's June, almost.
Or should we?
Then we wouldn't even need to get near... What? Then we wouldn't need to go near Grop at all. And honestly, that's pretty good logic. I would be like, June, why sack him now, you know? But, well, we'll see.
They do what they want. That's, but again, totally foreshadowing to the end of this chapter.
Yes, absolutely. So Ron, sure. Nope, June has arrived, which means it is
Ron has arrived.
He walks into all the rooms now. I've arrived. I won the cup. I have arrived. Bow down to the king.
You are on a roll.
So at this point, there is no longer homework for the fifth years, and lessons are literally just reviewing topics for exams, which I have to say, I like. That's cool. Yeah. But they're actually,
I hated,
like,
that in school.
Solely focused on making sure that these kids pass exams.
I'm also not a great studier, so that's probably why I hated those times. So I probably would want to read a book while I was in school.
Yeah, but it's just, like, nice that they didn't also pile homework on the kids, you know?
For sure. No, that's absolutely right. And I think it's great that they had time to study. I just am not great at studying.
Me either. Me either. Yep. So Harry could feel that, like, the atmosphere everywhere was purposeful, feverish, like, literally people were only thinking about OWLs. And Harry, in the back of his mind, is kind of wondering if Lupin ever spoke with Snape about occlumency, because if he had, it clearly didn't work, because Snape hadn't so much as reached out to him at all about it. And also, Hermione wasn't nagging him about it either, because she was so focused on exams, so he was happy about that, which I also think him even bringing this up also foreshadowing to the end of this chapter, because he needed it. But anyway, he also says Hermione hadn't even laid out any elf clothes for days.
Busy. Days.
Which I guess I didn't really, like, realize in my head that she did that all fifth year too.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. So Ernie Mac, he's basically the best.
Basically the best.
Was bragging about how many hours he had studied. And he said he was studying for 8 hours a day on average, which that's insane. Oh,
that's too much for me.
That is insane.
Nope. Nope.
And then Draco was inducing panic in his own way by by saying, it's who you know. Now, Father's been friendly with the head of Wizarding Examinations Authority for years. Old Griselda Marchbanks. We've had her around for dinner and everything. And poor Hermione, like, this actually panics her. And she's like, do you think that that's true? Oh, my gosh. Maybe I don't even stand a chance at passing. And Ron is like, well, even if it is true, what are you going to do about it? And... which, I mean, I feel okay, like let's calm her down.
If she's not going to pass, like, right? no one's going to pass.
She is such an irrational fear. Like, there's no way that she wouldn't pass. But that, like, literally is her biggest fear.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
But then Neville chimes in and he's like, I don't think so, because Griselda's a friend of Gran's and she's never mentioned the Malfoys. So I'll talk Draco.
Also, yeah, your name's about to get pulled through the mud.
Right.
The end of this book.
So I pulled up the wiki information for Griselda Marchbanks. She's a British witch who served as governor of the Wizarding Examinations Authority that ran the OWL, NEWT, and WOMBAT examinations.
What? F-I-N-E.
Is that Wombat? Is that what you spelled?
Yep. What are those?
I like how you say authority.
Wizards, Ordinary Magic, and Basic Aptitude Test.
What's that for?
Oh.
Who knows? I'm wondering if anybody got my Gilmore Girls joke, so I just want to throw that out there.
They can be taken. They can be taken and act as a valid form of credentials for witches and wizards wanting to apply for a job.
So maybe some jobs require it, you know? Yeah.
Huh. Maybe that's for jobs where, like, an aura, you really have to, like, do all of these things. And for other jobs, it's like, we just want to make sure that you're, like, at least a little competent.
Your eyes have it.
Yeah.
Competent.
So she resigned in 1995 as one of the Wizengamot elders.
Mm.
Let's see. They're saying she was born no later than the 1870s. Not sure where they got that number from.
Well, she's got to be older than Dumbledore because she taught tested him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she does say at some point that she oversaw and personally examined Dumbledore for transfiguration and charms when he did NEWTs. And he was able to do things with a wand I'd never seen before. So.
Lady's old.
Also, I thought that this was kind of cool. Apparently, in Fantastic Beasts, at some point, whenever you see all of those newspapers flash on the screen, like they're like going through time with the newspapers and stuff, her name comes up in an article.
Oh, really? Stop this.
Yeah.
And let me see.
Let me see if I can find it here. Or also in Order of the Phoenix, an article comes up whenever they're doing that same thing that says Madame Marchbank denies links to submersive goblin groups.
Say that a lot. Goblin groups. Goblin groups.
Is the I think you said it wrong both times.
Probably.
That was a weird laugh.
Okay, so I found it in the article. It says in the Daily Prophet's November 29th, 1926 issue, an interview was published with Marchbanks in which she expressed her disappointment with recent poor test outcomes in charms. So that was in one of the flashes. And then again, in Order of the Phoenix, there's a flash whenever you're going through time as well in the movies that says, Madame Marchbank denies links to subversive goblin groups. But then you can't really like read anything else on it, but it flashes on the screen.
Yeah.
So that is
so
her.
Cool.
And on that note, it's no longer my turn.
Pass the baton.
Yep.
Pass the potato.
Thank you. The what?
I don't know.
The baton.
Oh.
What'd you say?
potato.
Taco Bell potato? What?
Like hot potato.
Potato.
Potato. Got it. So Ron asks Neville if he thinks that knowing this Griselda Marchbanks is going to hurt his chances at all. And Neville says he doesn't think this is going to make any difference. Quote, Gran's always telling Professor Marchbanks, I'm not as good as my dad.
Oh.
That's awful.
I know.
Yeah. That's awful.
Gran! WTF!
Gosh. Like, there's a difference in... We've talked about this to no end, but there's a difference between, like, positively trying to...
Pump somebody up.
Yeah.
Be like,
to encourage a child
doing better, or like, yeah, no, it's just the way she goes about it.
Squashing it down,
right?
Oh, that made me mad. Anyway, this is the first time that Neville, he adds on, well, you saw what she's like at St. Mungo's. So this is the first time that Neville actually acknowledged that they did meet at Mungo's. Like, he had not brought it up at all, and in respect, they didn't bring it up to him, but they don't really elaborate on it. But guys, welcome to the black market of Hogwarts.
I'm here for it.
I'm glad that you're talking about this section. It feels like a very Katie section.
Thanks, I think. So the fifth and seventh years are swapping and selling all these different aids in concentration, mental agility, and wakefulness. I love the wakefulness part, because what do you think of, like, when you're in college and, like, doing exams? You're like, you're down in that caffeine, right?
It makes me think of a little golden egg. Isn't that what that said?
What?
That promotes sleeping and wakefulness.
Oh, our eggs.
That little egg.
You know what I'm talking God. About?
Oh, my God. Katie's egg. Kate, did you sit on that thing yet, or
it's
what?
Right it's right here. It's right here, and it helped me smash a spider the other day, so you guys can make fun of it all you want, but this golden egg.
I'm genuinely, that's what the little card said in the box.
I don't have an egg. I also don't have problem sleeping, knock on wood. Do you want to hear a fun story about me studying in college? I had, like, a triple espresso, and then ordered an espresso brownie that they used to have at Starbucks, and then I puked.
I was going to ask you how your heart felt.
Awful. My body was like, nope.
I think of all the art kids who were, like, on Adderall and stuff.
Yeah.
Not because they needed it, because they wanted it.
Whoa. Whoa.
And I'm like, yeah. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. Just drink some coffee and
you'll get
through
this. Don't
need an espresso brownie.
They don't make those anymore.
That's probably why I puked. So bad.
Did you have something to add about the egg? Do you have an egg?
I have an egg too.
Oh.
I don't have an egg.
I got this egg when I was nominated as Triwizard Champion.
I mean, think of how teeny tiny, like, if the dinosaur, whoa, that's a dragon. If the dragon actually came out in an egg that size, it would be so fragile. It'd be so little tiny and fragile.
Yeah. I think that'd be harder to capture.
It would make me worried. No, but, like, think of, like, sea turtles and how, like, a lot of them don't make it.
Oh, yeah. This just took
a turn. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so sad. Like, it makes me nervous.
You went there.
It's a circle of life, man.
How do we get on turtle eggs from the black market of Hogwarts?
Maybe that helps with your mental agility. You don't know. Turtle talk. I don't know.
Oh boy.
Turtle
right.
power.
I'm the only right? one turtle here power. That doesn't have an egg.
Right? Exactly.
Pizza party Friday night.
That's also something you probably eat through exams because it's quick and easy, right? Full circle.
Say it.
No.
Okay.
Pizza. P-I-Z-Z-A. I want pizza.
All right. So, Eddie Carmichael.
All right, so.
Yep. Eddie Carmichael.
Good old Eddie Carmichael.
He knows what's up. Okay. He offers Harry and Ron a whole pint of Baruffo's brain elixir.
Baruffo.
Sorry. I typed it wrong. Baruffo's
Blaine.
It's BBE, okay? for 12 galleons. And Ron's like, Harry, when we get out of Hogwarts and I have a job, I will reimburse you for my half. And Eddie swears this is the reason he got 9 outstanding OWLs. So from the wiki, Baruffio's brain elixir, I had to take that slow, is a potion that supposedly increases the taker's brain power. According to, what is that name?
Gethsemane.
Thank you. Gethsemane Prickle, who was the British Minister of Magic, herbologist, and potioneer. It doesn't work at all, and it really poses a serious health hazard if improperly brewed. So I wouldn't really trust Eddie Carmichael that he was able to brew this properly.
Eddie!
You are undermining Eddie. He's probably God. Great, Katie.
Well, maybe he got 9 outstanding OWLs.
Yeah, that's
aren't
true.
Aren't there, like, not even that many?
No, you
didn't,
can get 12.
Didn't one of the Weasleys get 12?
Oh, 12.
I don't know.
Ding.
But before they could even think about it, Hermione confiscated it and she poured it down the toilet, and Ron is furious and she's like, don't be stupid, you might as well have just taken this kid's powdered dragon claw, apparently he has one. And Ron's like, well, what, his name is Harold Dingle. He's like, what, Harold's got dragon claw? And she's like, yeah, but I confiscated that too. And he's like, but like, apparently, like, that's supposed to work, it's supposed to give your brain a boost. And then you're all cunning for a few hours. And he's like, can I just have a pinch? Like, it can't hurt. And Hermione's like, yeah, well, this stuff actually can, because it's actually dried doxy droppings. And both of them didn't talk about the black market anymore after that.
Saved you from doxy poo. Right.
Fun
Wait,
fact.
Can we? I can't get past Harold Dingle's name. I love it.
Isn't there a song... Some jingling. He made. Huh. Hold on. Wait. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Isn't it Mr. Jingling?
It's Mr. Jingling.
I'm thinking of, like, head whiskers. They grew in and
then the baby. Jingle.
Mr. Finnegan. That's what I'm thinking of, I think.
Oh, so yeah, like, yeah.
He had whiskers on his chin again. They grew out and then grew in again. Poor old Mr. Finnegan.
Why'd that make you think of Harold Dingle?
I don't know. Dingle hopper.
Oh, boy.
A dingleberry.
That's what was in the Dragon Claw. Doxy Dingleberry.
Oh, who had poop on their bingo card?
Mark it off. A fun fact, though, apparently Dragon Claw is in Baruffio's brain elixir. So,
oh gosh,
interessante,
right? So McG gives them their exam schedules and details. OWLs are spread over 2 weeks. So in the morning they have, like, the exam part, like the written exam, and then in the afternoon they have the practical exam. Obviously, except for astronomy, because that has to happen at night so you can see the stars. And she does warn about cheating. There's an anti-cheating charm on their exam papers, and also auto answer quills, rememberalls, detachable cribbing cuffs, and self-correcting ink are banned. I looked up the cribbing cuffs, and it's like something you literally put on the cuff of your shirt that's supposed to help you cheat somehow. That's literally all the information that it gave me.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's just like, I feel like that's something you can, like, kind of hide under your wrist or something so nobody could see it. So McGee says that every year there's at least one student who thinks they can get away with cheating, and she's like, it better not be a Gryffindor. Telling you
who
right
do you think
now.
Out of the four of us would be the one to do it?
Megan. I said that so fast.
You said it before I could.
Where's the lie?
I was gonna say Sarah.
Katie, who do you think?
I was thinking Sarah.
Why me?
It ain't me.
Once when I was in, like, first grade.
Because Sarah, you'd put off the studying till too late, and then you'd be like, I need a crib and cuff.
Oh, see, but you know what? I do put off studying till too late, but I'm an ace at taking tests.
Yeah.
I just go in, I do it, I'm like, whatever, I can't worry about it now. I don't think I've cheated since I was in first grade and cheating very poorly.
Megan, I'm sorry I said your name.
Megan. I feel like you would do it just to see if you could get away with it.
That's another thing. Like, Michael would be like, oh, watch me.
I mean, like, I don't want this to... I don't know. I've never needed to cheat for a test.
Can I tell a story?
Wow, way to brag. You so know smart.
One time I was taking a science test.
Oh, here we go. Katie.
No, I did. Katie's no, wait. No, I was taking a science test and I don't remember the details. Something happened. There was like someone was talking about something. I don't know. I happened to see on pure accident an answer on someone else's test. And I felt so guilty. I wrote a note to my teacher on the top of my test saying I saw this answer. She, like, I didn't mean
writes
to.
Writes an F, walks up.
Wait, you wrote on top of your test that you cheated?
I wrote that I accidentally saw this person because there was like this disturbance that happened. Like, it was so
there
dumb.
There was a disturbance
in the
force?
Did she not give you the point?
Oh, she didn't care. She didn't say anything. Because whatever. Like,
what
no
is this
deal.
Person doing? Oh my God. So these are moments in the podcast where people are like, they're so mean to one another.
Well, like, literally, I think that's the only time I ever cheated when I was in, like, I think it was, like, first grade, and it was a spelling test. Very, obviously, what first grader knows how to cheat nicely? So, like,
nicely. We've heard this
but,
story.
Like, other, I know, but other than that, like, when I take a test, if I don't know the answer, like, because I heard a teacher once say, they're like, just because someone's done with the test first does not mean that they got all the answers right. And I'm right. The type of person, like, I'm a very quick test taker. I'm usually one of the, like, first people done, but, like, if I don't know an answer, I'm not going to sit there and, like, think, because it's not going to come to me.
I always move on, and then if I'm able to go back, I go back.
That's what I do, too.
Well, yeah, I do that as well, but I'm not going to, like, there's some people, and I'm not shaming them or anything, it's just not how I take a test. Like, there's some people that'll sit there and think and, like, try to get the answer. I just will be like, whatever, I don't know it. Like, that's why I didn't do really great on like, you know how you take tests to get into, like, high school, like an entrance exam. Yeah. I did really bad on the math test going into mags, that I had to take had to have a math tutor. My dad was not pleased, and math is one of my, like, really good subjects because I didn't feel like doing the work and I just circled answers.
Oh my
still
God.
Got in.
That's very Terry of you, though.
He was not pleased. So I just remember in tutoring, they're like, do you need help? And I was like, no, I'm all right.
No, I'm actually fine.
Yeah.
You guys but ready for some McGee sass?
I guess I did cheat.
I'm always ready.
Now you gotta tell.
It's coming out.
I got the SpongeBob meme ready.
No, for my one job, I had to become a notary. So me and my friend went to go take the test, and they let us sit right next to each other. So we helped each other with the test.
Oh.
The heck do you need to take a test for that for?
That's helping.
I guess I don't understand.
I was like, does this really matter? I just need to make sure people's IDs match their signatures. Let's go.
Yeah.
Are you still a notary? Right? Is that something you have to, like, renew?
No.
I did it way before all the new rules and stuff like that. It was not nearly as involved whenever I became a notary as it is now. There's, like, even to renew, you have to take a test every year now.
Mm-hmm. All right, McGee sass. Quote, our new headmistress, Professor McGonagall, pronounced the word with the same look on her face that Aunt Petunia had whenever she was contemplating a particularly stubborn bit of dirt, has asked the heads of houses to tell their students that cheating will be punished most severely because, of course, your examination results will reflect upon the headmistress's new regime at the school. However, that's no reason not to do your very best. You have your own futures to think about. So she's like, I know Umbridge sucks and we want to make it look like she sucks, but we all need to still do our best.
I love it.
And they will find out the results via OWL sometime in July. Whether that's shallow, deep, or thick, we are not sure.
I would say thick to deep.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thick to deep towards Harry's birthday, which is like the deepest of deep. It's like the trench of the deep.
You can't touch out there, man.
The tail right? end. Yeah. The tail end of the deep.
Right.
You need a floaty.
You're so in, you're almost out.
Yep.
Oh my God.
What does that mean?
Because you're so into June, you're almost out of it. Or, I mean, you're so into July, you're almost out of it and into August.
Okay. Weird things happening today.
Every day.
All
so their first exam. Their first exam will be charms on Monday morning. And Harry makes the mistake of agreeing to test Hermione. He instantly regretted it because every time he asked her a question and she answered, she would snatch the book out of his hand just to see if she had gotten the answer completely right.
That would aggravate me as well.
Do it yourself, then.
But that's how I will say that is a way that I study really well, is if like I'm quizzing someone or they're quizzing me and we go back and forth. Mm-hmm. That is one of the ways that I do study well and learn stuff.
I like learning.
It's all right. So dinner that night is pretty quiet because, you know, everyone's like freaking out. Ron and Harry are stuffing their faces because all they've done that day are studied. Hermione is still studying. She like has her bag by her. So she's like picking up books to double check like all of the things she's thinking, making sure she's right. Ron tells her that like she really needs to eat so she can actually sleep. But then like they get cut off because she sees that there are people in the hallway. And she's like, oh, they must be the examiners. So they get up because they want to get a closer look at them. For what reason? I don't know. And they see that they're talking to Umbridge. So one person who Harry assumes was Professor Marchbanks said the journey was fine. And she wondered about Dumbledore. She hadn't heard from him and asked if Umbridge knew where he was. Of course, no, she has no idea. And she says this, then shoots a look at Harry and his friends. And she then goes on to say, but the ministry will track him down soon. So Marchbanks disagrees. She said if Dumbledore doesn't want to be found, that he won't be. When she had tested him, he was very talented with his wand. Umbridge doesn't respond to that, but has them all go to the staff room to have a cup of tea after their journey. So the trio go to their common rooms while everyone is trying to study, but they're not really getting anywhere. I think because it's like the night before the test, there's a lot of anxious people. And it's just like one of those things, like, what more can you study? So Harry is not getting anywhere, so he goes to bed early, but he kind of lies there awake thinking about how he needs to get better grades. He's thinking about McGonagall and how she is determined to get him in the aura program, and how he knows that, like, he's thinking, I should have studied better, I should have done more to get into the program with my studies. But he also knows that, like, he's not the only one that's still up worrying about their exams. So the next morning, everyone seems on edge. They're trying to get last minute studying in. And then when it's all over, they have to leave the Great Hall. They have to wait out in the hallway until they are called in one class at a time to go back into the Great Hall. And this is a little quote from the book. It says the four house tables had been removed and replaced instead with many tables for one. How sad. Table for one? all facing the staff table at the end of the hall where Professor McGonagall stood facing them, and they sat down and were told to start. So
I love it.
Interesting.
I love it.
I was thinking, like, this is a charms test and she's moderating it basically. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that, and I was like, but wait, they're taking their transfiguration test the next day. Got confused. And so the first question was, and I mean, I have to, like, we can't not say it.
Do it.
So it's a two-parter. So y'all are going to have to answer it for me, okay? It's a difficult question. So first you have to give the incantation, and then you have to describe the wand movement required to make objects fly. Can you tell me? Who knows the answer?
Wingardium Leviosa.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Swish and flick.
Yes. So Harry thinks his very first thought is of the troll in the bathroom, and he kind of smiles a little bit while writing his answer. And
I like that moment.
Swish and flick,
a good
baby.
Callback.
And it's like a good, it's like a test taking moment. Like, you know, you're so nervous and you get like the first question. You're like, I can do this. You know what I mean? It's almost like, okay, like I know what I'm talking about. Kind of. I mean, you're not talking, you're writing it down, but
yeah.
After
like a
the
confidence
exam
boost.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the exam, Hermione was glad that it wasn't too bad, and she starts to go over like all of the different questions that she wasn't sure about. She literally starts like numbering them. Did you guys ever do that, like when taking a test?
Yeah.
Like I remember in high school when you had like the same teacher for like a subject, but like at different times. So like you would find the person and be like, so what was on the test? And you would talk about it.
Yeah.
Usually they would have different tests, but or like rearrange the
questions.
Numbers. Yeah. So Ron stops her because he doesn't want to have to go. He's like, we're not doing this. We're not going over every question. He's like, I already took it once. It was bad enough. Like, we're not doing it again. And I mean, I don't blame him, but I also like, am a little bit like Hermione. But at the, I mean, it depends on how I feel at the end of it. If I think I've done really bad, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want you to tell me. And then I'm going to be worried because I'm going to think, like, I got that one wrong. I got that one wrong. But if I'm, like, pretty confident in it, then I'll have a conversation with you, maybe. I don't know. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
So they ate lunch in the Great Hall, and that, like, all the tables had come back, and then they went into the hall again, waited, and at this time it was small groups that were being called in for their practical exams, and they had to go in alphabetical order. Obviously Hermione goes in first with her group and then doesn't come back out. None of the students
never
that have
to be
been
seen
tested.
Again
expelled failed out. Yeah.
So once they go in, they, like, I'm assuming leave out another door, maybe that side door that Harry had to go through last year and meet with the other champions. Mm-hmm. Who knows. And so, like, Harry and obviously Hermione, or Harry and Ron, are waiting out because they haven't been called yet, and, like, Ron's like, oh, I'm sure she did fine. And so they're like, you know, just everyone's waiting in the hallway anxiously. Harry's called next by Professor Flitwick, and he's told to go to Professor Tofty, who looked like the oldest and baldest examiner. And he also, as he's walking by, he sees that Malfoy is getting tested by Marchbanks.
Tofty makes me want Tofts ice cream.
So good. So I got nervous for a second.
It makes me think of that.
Because you clicked a link and it went to the
No,
link.
Because it, like, said something weird.
Oh, I didn't
so
see that.
So I looked it up. I looked Professor Tofty up. And so it says that he was a wizard who worked for the Wizarding Examinations Authority in capacity of an examiner. And I think some of this is from...
I think it's from that game.
Yeah, I think it's from the game as well. So there's stuff Hogwarts from Mystery. Hogwarts Mystery. And so, yeah. He was born before 1972. He's a professor. Doesn't really go too much into that. According to the game, he just would have, during his annual trip, I guess he'd go every year to do the exams for ordinary wizarding levels. That's pretty much it.
Ordinary.
It goes on to say we're going to see him at the end of this chapter because he, well, we're going to see he, why am I struggling to talk?
I don't know.
So he's examining Harry in the practical exam for charms. He does it for defense against the dark arts and for astronomy, as well as history of magic theory essay. And he asks, I guess, Harry later to produce a Patronus for an extra point. And he's good friends with Tiberius Ogden, who told him that Harry was able to conjure a corporeal Patronus. I wonder how he found that out, though. Like, who's Tiberius
Isn't it corporeal?
Ogden?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we all say it wrong.
Click that name.
Did you tell me to click this name?
Yeah.
So, he's a member of the Wizigamot. That's why he knew.
The Wizgiz.
But he resigned in protest due to Cornelius Fudge's appointment of Dolores Umbridge as High Inquisitor.
You go, Tiberius!
Yeah, I actually really like the name Tiberius. And so then, like, later on when Umbridge is attempting that sneak attack on Rubius Hagrid during the astronomy exam, Tofty tried to persuade the observing students to focus on their exams instead of the attack.
Yeah, right.
However, when the auras start launching spells, not only at Hagrid, but at McGonagall, causing her to collapse, he also forgot the examination and he shouts in anger and shock at such a disgraceful assault.
Maybe shooting spells from the tower. Pew! Bye, Umbridge.
And then Megan already talked about Griselda Marchbanks. So that's
Sorry.
Her. We know about her. She's described as a short and very elderly witch.
Sounds like me.
You're very elderly. So Tofty asks him if he is the famous Potter. And so Harry kind of doesn't answer because he's watching Malfoy throw a not kind look towards him. And the wine glass that Malfoy is levitating falls and shatters on the floor. And it makes Harry smile. Lofty, except his name is Tofty.
Lofty Tofty.
Everybody
Everybody's getting new names.
Oh, geez. Tofty tells him not to be nervous because he sees him smiling. He's like, oh, it's good not to be nervous. And he asks him to make his egg cup do some cartwheels. And it's funny that we were talking about eggs in the chat today.
Yep.
I have some egg cups. I enjoy them. I've done a shot or two out of them. I won't lie. Not what the intended use is for, but hey, cup's a cup. It's a cup.
What's happening?
So much. So Harry thinks his test has gone rather well. His levitation charm went better than Malfoy's, but he messed up the incantations for a color change and growth charm, and in doing so, his rat didn't turn orange like it was supposed to, but he grew to the size of a badger before Harry fixed his mistake. And I didn't look up how big badgers get, but I can. Harry was grateful Hermione didn't see his mistake, and he didn't tell her when he was done either. But he could tell Ron, because Ron had a plate turn into a big mushroom and didn't know how he did it. So I
feel like badgers are like a really big cat. Like, imagine just like a really like Iggy size, like fat cat.
I think they're bigger than that. I would freak out if saw a rat that big.
Yeah, go to New York.
No,
right here.
Thank you. So according to Google, the woodlandtrust.org.uk says they're about 90 centimeters.
I don't know what that means.
Which is 10 to 12 kilograms.
I don't know what that means.
Like, well, 10 kilograms is about 22 pounds, I
think.
That's
what I was going to say.
Maybe a lie. No, that's right.
Bigger than, well, I mean,
well, it's big.
Do some conversions there, buddy.
I can't. It just freaks me out a little bit.
Do you think Ron made a mushroom because he's a fun guy?
Oh.
Katie.
I like that a lot.
You're welcome.
Oh my god. So I googled color change charm, and according to the Wikia, it's a charm that changed the color of the target. And on the Lego from the Lego games, it has the incantation, which is Colavaria. Is that canon? I don't know. Y'all can choose for yourselves.
No.
And the only history is like during that school year, McGonagall taught her fourth year. So I think this is also in the game. Hold on. Yeah, that's Hogwarts Mystery. In the Hogwarts Mystery, she teaches it to her students. But we see that Ron, obviously with Scabbers, this doesn't work. But he tries saying sunshine, daisy, butter, mellow, turn this stupid fat rat yellow. But does it not work because it's a human or because it's just not a good spell?
It's probably a combination.
Yeah. And so, like, according to the Wikia, before 1991, this charm was used unknowingly to change the wig of his teacher, his being Harry Potter, to a vivid blue color. Alana would love that. And then we know during this test, he accidentally changes... Or he isn't able to use it because he uses a growth charm instead to not turn the rat orange, but to make him large. And then later he uses it to change the robes of the Chudley Cannons poster in Ron's bedroom to bright blue. And the etymology of it says so the incantation for this charm comes from the Latin words color and variae. I don't know if I'm saying that right, which is means vary. So the incantation would mean something like to change or to modify the color. And then talking about the growth charm, I googled that as well. But this one doesn't have an incantation. It says incantation unknown. But I would assume maybe that it would be like a similar thing to the other one. Because like, how would you get that? Like, you know what I mean? If it was like close in incantation, like word wise, I would assume that's easier to mix up than if it was like completely different. But I don't know. So this says it was a charm that increased the physical size of the target. It was unknown whether the spell was used to increase the size of the target's cells themselves, or if more cells were created to give an appearance of a greater size. It's very specific.
I like
but
that.
Like, what's the difference between that and like Engorgio or whatever?
I have no idea.
And so we see him use this. Harry uses this spell instead of the color one. And then like Engorgio is like same. It's also a growing charm. So like I wonder, I don't know if it's a totally different spell. To me, like it's the same thing, but I guess there's also Engorgio Skellius, which makes the head of the person bigger. That's funny to me. Ooh. So then they have dinner. And then after dinner, they went straight into more studying in their common room for their transfiguration test, which is the next day. And quoting from the book, it says, Harry forgot the definition of a switching spell during his written exam the next morning, but thought his practical could have been a lot worse. At least he managed to vanish the whole of his iguana, whereas poor Hannah Abbott lost her head completely at the next table and somehow managed to multiply her ferret into a flock of flamingos, causing the examination to be halted for 10 minutes while the birds were captured and carried out of the hall.
Flock of flamingos.
Can you imagine, though, like the feeling of just embarrassment having been the person that did that? Like, I would feel so bad.
A flock of flamingos is called a flamboyance, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I looked up the switching spell, again, incantation unknown. It was a transfiguration spell used to switch the position of two objects. By definition, it was a simultaneous transfiguration of two objects to make them look like each other. I'm going to see what this is saying from according to Hogwarts Mystery Year. So who knows? Whatever. But I mean, that kind of makes sense because if you're doing transfiguration, like you're not like, I think if you were switching them and actually moving them from place to place, that's more of a charm.
Yeah, like, I agree.
For charms class. And if you're just transfiguring them, it makes sense to me that it's a simultaneous transfiguration of two objects.
I guess
this is saying Hermione Granger got extra points because she knew what it was in her first year of school.
Yeah.
She's a smarty pants. We see that Neville Longbottom was unable to perform the spell by October 1994, a fact that was criticized by Minerva McGonagall, who called the spell simple. Hermione tells Harry, or idly suggests to Harry for the first Triwizard Tournament, that he might use this spell on a dragon to turn its fangs into wine gums. Oh gosh, wine gums are so good. But rejected, that's candy, like a gummy that's flavored in like wine, basically. So good. But rejected the idea as impractical because, as a rule, it was nearly impossible to cast the spell through a dragon's hide.
Look at my hair.
And then we see that he forgot the definition of a switching spell when doing his written transfiguration OWL exam. So, yeah. Apparently, it's also in... they use this spell. This might have been the spell Tina and Queenie Goldstein used to change their clothes before entering the blind pig to talk to... Is it Narlach? Or is it Gnarlach?
Narlach.
Okay. You never know. So, if so, they presumably made their work clothes switch places with a pair of nicer attire that hung in the closet back in their apartment. So, there may be specific spells used for switching specific objects. This is what it says for behind the scenes.
Cool beans.
And that's where we come to, you know?
Get ready to get mad next episode.
I was reading this chapter for the notes, and I was actually talking about this in Discord before we started recording, but like, I can't believe where we're at in this book already.
What are we going to do next?
It's going to
switch to Twilight. Switch it up.
It's going to fly.
Let's switch to Twilight after we finish this.
Is this podcast going to be called Spider Monkeys?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Or What in the Forks?
I hate
what
it.
What in the Forks?
It's like, I just found out he's a vampire.
I hate it so much.
Look at it. I just found out he's a vampire and I'm shocked.
All right. Mushroom ravioli, right?
That's hilarious.
I don't think I like
that. First question comes from Vinny. What do we think Ron's strongest subject is?
Defense against dark arts.
I think probably defense, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the one that he cares about the most. And
I mean, he does become an Auror.
That helps push him along, I think. And he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, history of magic.
Shut up. Oh, God. He sleeps during all those classes.
Divination?
Maybe that's why he would like history of magic, because he can just sleep through it.
True. And divination.
Yeah.
I guess defense. But I think, like, I wonder, like, when he starts working with George in the shop, if they're both making up, like, new spells and new things, like, if he's actually pretty good at charms and he just doesn't give himself, you know what I mean?
Or like, potions. Because yeah, like, for a lot of those things, he probably has to do potions, too, for the
shop. And I think that he probably learned a lot after that because he doesn't have everything going on around him. Like, he's more not of a there. Practical he's learner, learn I feel. Better.
And we know that Fred and George obviously were very talented wizards, being able to create this stuff while they were still in school. And I think that, like, because I think it's known that, like, once he starts working with George, like, they're really able to, like, kind of, not franchise it, but, like, get more than one shop, and, like, they kind of blow up a little bit. I don't know why I'm yelling about it, but.
You're passionate.
Ryan just fires me up.
Give me another question.
Next question. Let's see if we can, like, go back into our memories and remember this.
Oh, gosh.
What were your study essentials during exams? Do you remember?
Coffee. That didn't taste like coffee. That was back when it was, like, not black coffee.
The way I drink it still now.
Caramel macchiatos. That's what I used to drink.
I was a lover of note cards, like in terms of like studying. I was all about note cards.
Note cards for sure.
I'm literally the worst. If I used note cards, I never finished them. I think that's very much an Aries trait. I would never finish writing out the note cards.
Oh.
But I'd read my notes.
I don't have that trait.
I would read my notes too.
Yeah.
You don't finish things. You finish everything you've ever started?
Not in just
terms of studying, I'm just asking in all things. Like, that's an Aries trait. It's like you'll start a project and then you just don't finish it. Whatever the project may be, like, it could be the studying part, it could be...
I don't think.
Oh, no.
I like to get things done so it's done. A lot of the times I'll get distracted and start something else, but that at that, like, day, I'll get it done. Because I don't like... half doing something. I like holding.
I think in college, at least, because I had more like access to this sort of thing, I always enjoyed like a good treat yourself moment after I was finished with said exam. So like Katie and I could be like, let's go get coffee or let's go get a treat at the cafeteria.
I find every excuse in life to treat myself.
Well, true.
Me too. I really utilized study groups for subjects that I had a lot of trouble with, like anything that was like, I remember I took psychology classes and English classes and those
while
very much alone. Biology, though.
I work very well in a study group. It also makes me incredibly anxious to be around other people and like, especially if I don't know them. So because I don't handle my, or didn't especially then handle my anxiety well, I wouldn't join a study group. Mm-hmm. Even though I know it would work.
Study together.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we always had the same classes and everything. Next question. This one is like a true lightning bolt question. One word answer.
Got it.
What did you prefer in exams, theory or practical?
Theory.
Practical.
What did I prefer or what would I prefer?
Well, would or did.
What?
I don't know if I've ever had a practical exam.
I mean,
would say a practical exam would be getting your driver's license.
Oh,
yeah.
Theory.
Practical.
Yeah, practical.
I just think of like when I had to get my license to do hair, because the morning was practical and you didn't know if you're going to do your practical first or your test. And I hoped what I wanted to do, because I know that like I take tests faster, like I wasn't gonna have to normally have to take the whole time to do it, so I wanted my practical first to get it over with and then do theory, and luckily I got that, because they like make you take one part of the test, you have like a lunch break, and then you take the other part, and I hate being watched, and I have to do competencies every year for work, and I get crazy anxious. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this job for 11 years, so like it's not like I don't know what my competencies are. But I hate it every year because I hate being watched, and I just give me a test.
There's not this year, but in previous years, there's like teacher evaluations, and there's one that's announced observation, and then you have an unannounced observation. For the announced, you have to like plan a lesson, do all this paperwork. I hate it. And with the unannounced, they pop in, they watch you, and then you go and like you talk about it later and stuff. And I love that because I don't have to do any paperwork for it. So I'm like, come on in. Take a little gander. We're having fun in here, but not anymore.
Yeah.
At least for now.
Next question.
Wait, Megan, sorry, did you answer?
Yeah, I said practical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Practical. That question was from Kirsty, and I'm also going to ask another one from Kirsty. She asks, what exam at Hogwarts would you most look forward to and least look forward to?
Most charms, least potions.
For sure. Actually, potions for sure least.
I think I would
also
most...
like history of magic.
Oh, I'd be down with that class. But,
like, it depends on how.
But see, like, it's just taught so badly.
Yes.
Like, if there was a different teacher and like they taught it in an exciting way, I might love that class. But the way that it's taught, like, that would just be a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
That's when you thrive as a student and you take the material and you like teach yourself, man.
Megan or Tiffany, you, whoever you are. Not that kind of student.
I am so that kind.
I very much am like that. I love to learn, but on my own time. So like when like I love to read. Once I figured out how to do it, I've loved to read. But when I have a teacher telling me I had to read a book, I don't want to read it. I think genuinely in the four years of high school, I think I read less than 5 books that I was supposed to.
Jeez.
I passed. I read Mrs. Mike. That one was really good. And then we had a Greek mythology book. We didn't have to read all of it, but I did because I liked them. And that's actually the only 2 books I remember fully reading. I don't condone that. I shouldn't have done it. I should have read the books. Like Pride and Prejudice, I think I would have really liked, but I never read it. I watched the miniseries instead.
Katie, what about you?
Least favorite potions for sure. We all know I can't cook, so doubt I can make a potion.
You can cook. You just don't love to cook.
Gusto would say, anyone can cook.
It's true.
Cook.
I don't like to cook. So, favorite care of magical creatures.
I think that too would be fun. Only if Hagrid Scroots? Was like.
See what? If.
With Scroots?
If.
Scroots.
Slughorn. If Slughorn was the teacher, I think I would thrive at potions, so I would probably be most excited for potions.
You and every other student.
The thing though with that is like Snape is better at potions, he's just not a good teacher.
Right.
So like if it was Slughorn's personality teaching the way Snape teaches, meaning like giving them like good information and like having it up on the board and being like, you should try this instead of doing like what's in the book.
Yeah.
That would have been like a great combination.
I think I could have done okay under Snape just because like I can be good.
Because I'm a Slytherin?
Well, I probably would have been favored. Yeah. But also like I can be pretty good at just like flying solo and like doing my own thing, like flying under the radar, kind of just like, all right, I'm going to let him like pick on so-and-so and just kind of like stay silent and cruise through. So like...
Yeah,
I think regardless of the situation, I would really like potions just because that seemed like, I don't know, that interests me. Like I enjoyed chemistry. I just had a horrible teacher when I was in high school for chemistry, but like I loved doing chemistry and like biology and stuff. But like that has nothing to do with potions. But anyway, I think I would have really liked potions, but my least favorite, I would have to go with like definitely it would have been like divination or.
Oh yeah.
Like had I even decided to take it, I can't say I would have even decided to take that class, honestly, but probably history of magic just because of like the situation there. That class would be really difficult for me to learn in again, because that's just like not the type of student that I am. Like I need it taught to me in a better way than that. And I am not good with taking initiative to teach it to myself. So
yeah, this is why I'm not great at online like taking online classes. Like, I've never like
having self-discipline for a lot of things when, like, you could be in a classroom and, like, you have nothing else to do but pay attention. But, like, when you're, like, at home with all of these other things, like, weighing on you, it's very difficult. So, all right, I'm going to ask one more. And let's do two more. Okay. One, next one's from Vinny again. Who do we think did better during OWLs? Dumbledore or Voldemort?
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
I think Dumbledore too. Like, I think Voldemort did well, I'm sure. But maybe not as, like, overall as Dumbledore did. You know, like, I feel like Voldemort's would have been more focused on, like, certain subjects, whereas Dumbledore would have been, like, an overall great test taker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then last question is from Sam. Who would get the most OWLs out of the four of us?
Tiffany.
I think Tiffany too.
I say that because, like,
I'm flattered.
I just know that, like she was saying, like, she's the one that's gonna be like, I gotta study, I'm gonna get good grades.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm the one that's like, I know I'm smart, but I just, you know, C's get degrees.
I think, or Katie could.
Your brother would say that as well.
Katie was a really good test taker. Katie's pretty smart.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll vote Tiff.
We're smart. I also vote myself.
I'm a good test taker. It probably goes, realistically, it probably goes Tiffany, Katie, Megan, me.
Do you think?
Yeah. But, like, I would say Megan and I are pretty, like, similar. And, like, our this is why we were friends in high school. You know. Yeah. We're not smart. We just don't. I don't know. I can't speak for her. I know that, like,
I
never
well.
Was fussed. Yeah, I never fussed care too much about tests and stuff.
I don't fuss about tests, but I usually test well. So, like, I don't know.
The only times I didn't do great were, like, I had I was, for whatever reason, I don't know how this happened, but I got an AP U.S. history in it my senior year, and I didn't do my homework, so I didn't do well in the class.
Mm.
But it's because it was writing papers. Writing papers makes me, I hate it.
I will say this, though. I did graduate with honors from college, and I worked my butt off. So
that's what I'm saying.
Nothing comes,
you do that. I don't.
Yeah. Nothing comes easy to me. So, like, smart is such a relative term.
I think
there's,
like,
different ways,
like,
of being intelligent.
Where, like, she works.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's intelligent and she loves to learn. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's like you, where you're smart. And it might come easier for me to, like, read and understand something, but, like, you're going to work harder. So you're going to see more effort or, like, more, you're going to see more, like, a reward or dividend from that.
Yeah.
But I also think that, like, your standards might be higher than mine, which there's nothing wrong with it.
I agree. No, I do.
I have no standards.
I do.
But, I mean, I do.
Sometimes I set standards too high for certain people to achieve them. So there's back and forth on all of that. But I'm smart. Let's go on. Tell me a fan story.
Did anybody
That's
get bingo?
It, right?
Did I miss a bingo?
Oh, yeah.
Were there any bingos?
B-I-N-G-O.
I don't think that we have any.
Bueller?
No bingos.
Bueller?
So that means that... hold on. Oh, yep. Slytherin wins the house.
Puffs is so close.
And that means that we are officially in double digits for house cup count. 10.
What?
We tied.
Ooh, snakes.
You and I tied.
I know. I was talking to you.
Oh, I thought you said who tied.
I said... No.
Who was in second? It was close. It was like only 10 point different.
Hufflepuff was in second.
Is second.
Yeah.
Gryffindor and Ravenclaw tied for third.
Second. Oh, nothing.
All right. Give me the fan story, Kate.
All right. This week's fan story comes from Tracy Lowry. Did I say that right?
I think so.
Yep. I think so.
Hello, all. My name is Tracy Lowry, and I am a huge Harry Potter fan.
Me too.
I differ from most fans in that I'm a little older than the typical fan base. I remember the first time I saw the book for sale. It was just before my sophomore year, second year of high school, for those overseas, at a hole-in-the-wall newspaper stand, and it was still called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Fast forward to the middle of my sophomore year, and in my English class, each student had to pick a book from a book list to read and do an extensive report on. I remember seeing books like Clockwork Orange on there that came with its own vocabulary sheet to understand it. However, I also saw Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on the list. Though the name was different, I remembered seeing it at the stand and immediately told my best friend at the time that there was a children's book on the list, Score. We obviously went with this. We went with this much easier book than the others on the list. Like most others, we could just not get into the book. Getting close to the deadline for the project, I buckled down and read the whole book. I was amazed. I told my friend about it and told her she just needed to get past the first couple of chapters. As soon as she did, she was as hooked as I was. I can't help but look back to my English teacher at the time and think of how ahead of her time she was. I am forever grateful that she opened my eyes to the series. There was no second book available at the time, so I've spent a lot of my adulthood waiting for the books and movies to come out. At 35 years old, many people are surprised by my passion for the Wizarding World. I'm a very level-headed, rational, and fairly quiet person, but as soon as Harry Potter comes up, the floodgates open. During my time in the Navy, it was my own little mental getaway, and even now it remains a source of comfort and strength. I could talk Harry Potter all day and never tire of it. I am completely astounded that one person was able to create something so amazing, so welcoming, so meaningful to so many people. I wish that she could see the magic of her work through someone else's eyes just to see what it means to those that read and love it. I began listening to your podcast when it was still relatively new and went back to catch up on the episodes I'd missed. I love the idea of doing the reread. To be completely honest, I have only ever read the books in their entirety once. A reread is a fantastic idea. I'm sure I've been clouded with movieisms. Thank you all for this podcast, for the hard work you put into it, and for adding insight while reading the books yourselves. It was refreshing to hear discussions of the same thoughts I have, like, how did Mrs. Norris get on the torch bracket? I actually wondered the same thing before you discussed it. I appreciate what the four of you do. Thank you. Oh, and I am hands down a Ravenclaw, both self-proclaimed and sorted. My wand fir wood with a phoenix feather core, 14 and a half inches. My Patronus is a weasel, and my Ilvermorny house is Thunderbird. Side note, I currently live just next door in Indiana. Thank you for all that you do.
Hey, neighbor.
Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy. I love that. Potter just spans so much, like, from 5-year-olds that we have listening and up. And I absolutely love that. And we feel your pain when we say that you waited for books to come out. It was a long wait between some of those. So we feel you. But those were good times. Speculating also, times.
35 ain't old. Okay. Not at all. Also, like, yeah, like you said, kudos to that teacher for not excluding a children's book, because I love children's book. I love young adult books. Like, I gravitate towards that more than any other genre.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah.
Same. I've always gravitated. That's the word you just used, right? Yeah. I've always gravitated towards them as well.
And yeah, same here. I can be very quiet, but as soon as Harry Potter comes up, watch out. I'll never stop
watch
talking.
Watch out.
All right.
Tell me a joke.
Trying to find one. All right. Well, we'll go with this one. Do you know what Ron's Patronus is? It would be terrier if you didn't.
I thought you were going to ask me, do I know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
The.
Who lives on Drury Rain Lane?
Well, Drury Rain? There it
is. The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man.
Oh, fun stuff.
Make sure that you follow your hosts on social media. Myself and Katie are on Twitter and Instagram at The Peaches Family. Tiffany is on Twitter and Instagram at TiffSwish_Flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at OhHaHaHaMally. And that is with three H's.
Can you change it to O? Oh, ha ha ha, Melina.
Probably can. I don't know if someone else has that.
That would be a very long Instagram handle.
It's not like you have to type the whole thing in, though. Like, once you type it, I feel like you just, you know what I mean? Pops up, yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's the one I want.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Tiffany, what's changed in your life since yesterday when we last recorded?
I've had so much change.
A lot of Bridgerton, let me tell
you.
So
good.
So much Bridgerton. So I watched on my lunch break and after work, and it's been so good. So I'm almost done with episode 5 of that. I did read a little bit last night of Eye of the World, and then I kept like falling asleep, so I went back 2 pages and I shut it. Like, I'm done, because I'm not going to remember what I read. But I really want to finish that like super soon, so I want to try and read tonight some, and then just keep working out on this new program that I'm doing. It is like all over the place and nothing's the same, and it keeps you guessing and it goes by fast, and I have never burned so many calories in such a short amount of time, so it's been awesome. But I'm gonna be really sore tomorrow. I'm ready for it though. And that's kind of it.
Did you guys know that Shrek's Scottish?
I had no idea. I have recently gotten back into Mario Kart. Flying. It's been really good. Yesterday, we played Mario Kart after we recorded and turned the volume all the way down and listened to more of Obama's book. And I'm really enjoying it, but I had this conversation with Sarah before we started recording. I am enjoying it, but I'm also ready for it to be over. Just because it is not fiction, and that scares me. So I'm ready for some just like, you know, Brit chick lit, my favorite genre. I want some romance.
Great literature.
I want to not worry about the world affairs that I already see happening.
I'm worried
daily.
About. Yeah.
But it's a really great book, and it gives you a lot of insight into, like, I really liked how he described, he said, basically, with this book, I just wanted to give the American people a real idea of what it's like to be president. And I think that he's done a really good job of showing that, and I like it. So
Fozzie agrees.
So I highly recommend it. It's really good to, like, see from... or like from somebody who's so willing to open up to that part of their life and like really explain to you how, you know, how things happened that like we heard about on the news, but like actually from his perspective and how he was making decisions and how other people were blocking his decisions and so on and so forth. Like, it's just it's very good. I recommend it.
Yeah, it was a good book.
So I live with Meg and I'm married to her, so I'm doing a lot of the same things she's doing. I also was playing Mario Kart and listening to Obama's
news
book.
To me. When did you leave me, Katie?
Sarah, shh.
What?
I did have something else I was going to say. And oh, I didn't say this yesterday, even though this happened before, between yesterday and today. I cut Meg's hair, which was really scary. Scary. I've never cut anybody's hair, and I use clippers on her. And
I cut her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good for you, too.
Things you discover you can do in quarantine life. Right. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny, because, like, I went and I got my hair cut because there was a cut that I had wanted for a really long time, but I was kind of just, like, being a baby about just, like, getting it shaved. I was like, no, yeah, I just want it to, like, look slightly grown out. Like, do, like, an inch. That's good, so that you don't have to use the clippers.
I was wondering why it was
me.
So long.
Yeah.
Because she was scared.
But then, like, realistically, as I started, like, getting used to the haircut and stuff, I was like, no, this is more annoying than anything. So, like, Katie, can you please just shave it? And it feels so much better now. And it's, like, exactly what I wanted. So
I was terrified. At first I was afraid. I was petrified.
I was petrified.
Sarah, what have you? You've built something.
Yeah.
I did.
Bob the Builder.
So I didn't talk about this yesterday, and I meant to. I watched Bridgerton on Christmas Day, the day it came out. I watched the whole season, and I've now become obsessed with listening to instrumental music. That's like, so in the show, they have like one of the, I think the very first episode is Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. They play that like instrumentally. So I made a playlist on Spotify, and I listened to it on the way home yesterday. I'm obsessed of just instrumental songs. And also that show is really good. And then I was reading, in the last episode, I was talking about The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. So I finished it last night, and I loved the book. I didn't 100% love the ending, but I also did love the ending. And I won't lie, cried really hard reading it. So the next book I have on my list is, I started reading Mexican Gothic. Let me make sure that's what it's called. Yeah. So I literally am only a few pages in, so I don't know anything about it yet. So I'm reading that. And then I built like a little, what did I build? A little like side table. It's like a C. I think it's called a C table. So cause it kind of looks like a C if C's had hard edges, basically. Like an E without the middle, you know, the middle of the line. Because I wanted like a bedside table, but I didn't want one that I could put like a lot of stuff on. I literally just wanted it so I can like sit in my bed and put coffee on it, basically. And that's pretty much it. I'm building a bed this weekend, and that's that. That's my life. I'm building things. First thing of 2021. Bought it off Etsy. Nice. Yeah.
Awesome. What's this for?
For tests and tarantulas.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
for
good.
Tests and tarantulas, Megan's favorite. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just in my voice!
Let's talk about Harry Potter.
A laser? It's a light bulb that blinks!
That gif of someone jumping into bed and instantly being ready for bed is my ultimate dream. I think I want that to be my superpower, and also being able to eat constantly with no consequences.
Oh, what?
Ari, tell me that spider gif.
Are you serious? That's in a screen, Megan. It's not gonna get you.
I'm gonna get chills. She literally acted
like that was in her home. It is not there.
That spider gif scared me.
Can I remind Tiffany, can I remind you when we were on FaceTime and somebody brushed against somebody and I don't, was it me or you? I don't know. I swear we almost broke the laptop. Like things went flying.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.